This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Temptations. Boy, that used to be a song I remember at a lot of weddings some years back. I don't know if it still is. Great song. Good morning, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us on this Monday morning, November 25th. Oh, my goodness. 1 month exactly from Christmas already. In a few minutes, Chris Edwards of the Cato Institute is going to be with us, and we're going to talk about wealth inequality, the bogeyman of the liberals. Wealth inequality, is it really the cause for panic? We're going to find out. And now that the impeachment inquiry is finished, does that mean Adam Schiff is going to vote for impeachment? Well, not so fast. We're going to talk about that as well. In fact, we're going to talk about whether there will be an impeachment vote. And Michael Bloomberg now has entered the Democratic race for president. Should we even care? We'll talk about that. And in our Freedom Works Ultimate Top 10, boy, oh boy, get your pencils out. The top 10 worst colleges in the U.S., the worst of the worst. All right. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. If you want the best haircut in Tampa Bay, you want your Christmas haircut or your Thanksgiving haircut, my goodness, Thanksgiving in 3 days, you got to go over to the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's just north of Route 580 on Overcash Drive to get the best haircut at a price you will not believe. And great conversation, by the way. Andrew's Master Barbershop. And also, don't forget, we're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. But you can go to our website, listen to us anytime, OurFreedomWorks.com. OUR, FreedomWorks.com. Big Ed has all our shows nicely compacted there on the podcast button for your listening and dancing pleasure. OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, you would think Adam Schiff would be the first in line now to raise his hand to vote for Trump's impeachment, would you not? Well, apparently, he's now hedging his bet. Can you believe that? Despite claiming to have an ironclad case for impeachment against Trump, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Adam Schiff, refuses to say if Trump will be impeached. He was asked point blank yesterday on one of those Sunday talk shows. This is what he said on CNN's State of the Union. This president has now twice sought foreign interference in our election. When he was invited, when he invited the Russians to hack Hillary's emails, and later that day they attempted to do exactly that. There is a sense of urgency. He says, we need to act now if we're going to act. Despite displaying supreme confidence, he was unable to answer the question when asked if Trump would be impeached. He says, if the facts are not contested and your committee is writing up the report and you don't at least as of now have any scheduled witnesses, do you think Trump should be impeached? Well, he said he still had to confer with his colleagues and his constituents before rendering a final verdict. In other words, he's going to stick his finger up in the air and find out whether or not Trump did something bad or he didn't. He says, I want to discuss this before I make a final judgment on it. But there are a couple of really important things we need to think about. And then he goes on to talk about the bad things that Trump has done. So there you go. Here's the deal. The Democrats are now starting to realize that it ain't working. The polls are now shifting in favor of Trump and against impeachment. They will continue to go that way. Despite all of these people that they brought before the Intelligence Committee, it doesn't make it doesn't look like they've got any kind of a good argument on getting Trump out of office. And I think people are tired of it, and I think Nancy Pelosi's aware of it. And I think they may not even vote. Now, they may try to censure the guy, and we've talked about that before. That way, they still have a chance in the 2020 elections, because if they carry out this extended impeachment trial, and then, of course, he's going to get, he's going to be let go and found not guilty. Two-thirds of the Senate are not going to vote to throw him out. That's crazy. So I think they're finally starting to realize this is not working. It's going the way of the Mueller hearings. In the meantime, Michael Bloomberg has announced, as of yesterday, that he will run for president. Let's see, he's run as an independent, he's run as a Republican, and he's run as a Democrat for different offices, mostly the mayor of New York. He doesn't know what he is. He's going to bring his enormous wealth. I'm sure he's probably got a few bucks more than even Donald Trump. And I think he honestly believes that people are looking for somebody like him. You know, what in the movies, waiting for the cavalry to arrive, right? He's the cavalry. Are you kidding? He's a former Republican. He's expressed reservations about his adopted party's leftward drift. That's what he's now saying. And he would offer a pragmatic option. His late entry into the race is already roiled the rest of the Democrats that are running. He's going to kind of bypass all of these first primaries, like, you know, Iowa, New Hampshire, I guess in South Carolina, and focus in on the big multi-primary day, because he thinks that the first ones aren't really that important, apparently. Now, he's 77 years old. Almost as old as you are, Ed. I just don't think that a guy like that is, I mean, I haven't seen one ounce of excitement from anybody, even his wife. Even his wife is probably not that excited. Well, maybe she is. He'll be out of the house more. But it's all money. He's worth more than $50 billion. You know, it's like a toy with him. I think that's really what it is at this advanced stage in his life. It's like a toy. You know, I've done everything else in the world. Now I want to be the top man in the world. There may be a little bit of Trump in him that way. But I want to see him on the stage in the next debate because I think it would be interesting. With all these others, and how they would go after him, you know? He's not a complete far lefty. He's got some fiscal conservatism in him. He's a big social liberal, that's for sure. Well, we'll see where all of it goes. In the meantime, I want to talk about, speaking about wealth, we're going to bring back a guy from the Cato Institute by the name of Chris Edwards, who's going to talk about the question of wealth inequality. Is that really a bogeyman?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshew.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a Monday, 1 month before Christmas. Boy, oh boy, it's kind of scary. And 3 days before Thanksgiving. Delighted to have Chris Edwards of the Cato Institute join us. And we're going to talk about something that really gets, I don't know, every time I hear somebody say, the rich are getting richer, you get this idea that somehow that means that the poor are probably getting poorer. But Chris has co-authored a piece called Exploring Wealth Inequality, and we're delighted to have him on. Chris, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
All right. There's this idea that the richer some people get, the less there's going to be for everybody else. You know, it's almost like there's only a finite amount of money out there. Could you kind of talk about that? It makes it seem like, you know, the wealthy are sucking the money from everybody else.
Right. So the thing about wealth inequality is that it, by itself, it's a meaningless statistic because there are good causes of it and there are bad causes of it. So, you know, bad causes of wealth inequality are cronyism and crony capitalism. And you certainly see some of that in this country when rich people, insiders, get special subsidies from the government. We all agree that's a bad thing. And, you know, you and I can agree with, say, Bernie Sanders that special subsidies for the wealthy is a bad idea. On the other hand, you know, we live in a market economy generally in the United States, and the vast amount of wealth generated in this country is generated by market capitalism and competition. And if you look at some of the wealthiest people in our society, like Jeff Bezos, the richest man in America, and many others, they generated their wealth by creating benefits for all of us. Their wealth was generated as all boats were being lifted in society. We're all better off that Jeff Bezos has slashed the prices of books and then, of course, many other products in society. You know, one other good example of this is the Wall Street Journal's had a couple stories recently on the German grocery chain Aldi, you know, ALDI, which is spreading across the United States now. Aldi is owned by one of the richest families in Europe. They became rich by slashing prices for the poor. They are even undercutting Walmart. So the greatest benefactors of the poor are not the politicians with their welfare programs from Washington. The greatest benefactors of the poor are these entrepreneurs that vigorously compete to slash prices and save money for the masses, for all of us, and lower end.
Right, indeed. And one of the things that you mentioned, and I think it's very interesting, you say wealth inequality really tells us nothing about the level of poverty or prosperity, and are not useful for guiding public policy. So while some people are doing well, there's no direct connection between that and how
There's absolutely none. And actually, so you can see this looking around the world at different countries. We have estimates of wealth inequality around the world. And some of them on the left say, well, United States has some of the highest wealth inequality. That's true, but you want to know some of the other countries that have high wealth inequality? There are countries like Sweden and Denmark, some of the big welfare states in Europe. And the reason they have a lot of wealth inequality in places like Sweden and Denmark is because they have a very big welfare state. So what has happened is that the middle class and people at the bottom end in places like Denmark and Sweden have no reason to, because the government cares for all their needs. And so that increases wealth inequality. You see that in this country, too. The fact that the government has massive Social Security and Medicare programs means that middle-class folks have little incentive to save for retirement. And because of the government payroll taxes that fund those programs, people have less ability to save. So the big government displaces private saving and wealth building by the middle classes and increases wealth inequality. So the irony here is that Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and others on the left want to expand the welfare state, but that would actually have the effect of increasing wealth inequality. So again, you've got to look at what the causes of wealth inequality are. Bad causes of wealth inequality, like this sort of as the cronyism.
Right. We're talking with Chris Edwards. He is the director of tax policy studies at the Cato Institute, about his piece that he co-authored with Ryan Bourne called Exploring Wealth Inequality. And Chris, another point you make is that most of the people that are at the top of the wealth chain, they're self-made billionaires, I guess you could say. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's absolutely right. You know, in all of American history, we've had these awesome entrepreneurs that have built their fortunes by benefiting, the rest of us. I mean, Sam Walton, who built Walmart, he created his fortune by slashing prices and increasing, you know, service and quality and everything for the masses. And more than ever, in our society, if you look at the list of the wealthiest people in America, they are that sort of self-made and dynamic entrepreneur who are benefiting the rest of us. So Forbes produces this list of the 400 richest Americans, and they've been doing that since 1982. And if you look at the list, the share of people on the list with inherited fortunes versus those who were self-made entrepreneurs, like, say, Jeff Bezos, the share that is self-made has greatly increased from about 40% to 70%. So if you look at the list of the richest Americans these days, it's folks like Jeff Bezos. It's folks like the two entrepreneurs who created the app WhatsApp, which is used by over a billion people around the planet, providing free phone service. More than ever, people at the top generated their wealth by creating these beneficial products and services for the rest of us. So there's a weird irony here that this is the exact wrong time in American history to be complaining about wealth, because more than ever, wealth is being generated by doing these productive activities that benefit all of us.
Right. And yet we got this, I guess I'll use the term liberal mantra about people that have all of this money, as if we should go after them and penalize them. And
it's ridiculous. I mean, you were mentioning on the intro Michael Bloomberg. Bloomberg is an exemplary entrepreneur. I mean, even aside from his politics, Bloomberg made this really gutsy decision to move from a comfortable Wall Street job into creating this dynamic information company and creating a lot new in the marketplace. In Wall Street and in the broader news industry.
Right.
So that's good. We want competition. Competition benefits all of us. So when wealthy people They direct their wealth into creating products and services that increase competition and lower prices. That's good for all of us. So I think Bloomberg is a good example of the type of entrepreneur we want in America. And the idea that you should punish these folks with special taxes makes absolutely no sense.
Not only that, it's these kind of people that create these millions of jobs. I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, this is the thing. I don't think.
Here's one thing that I find really striking when you listen to the rhetoric of people like Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. It's like they think that the wealth of the wealthy people is like gold bars shoved under their mattress, or maybe a bunch of luxury yachts and that sort of stuff. Of course, rich people they own luxury. They own large homes. Stuff. But if you look at billionaires in America, only 2% of their wealth is those sorts of personal assets like yachts. 98%, the vast majority of their wealth is wealth and active businesses that are generating jobs for the rest of us. Well, his wealth is about $100 billion, but that wealth is his ownership of Amazon. Amazon creates jobs for more than 600,000 people. So Bezos' wealth is a reflection of the jobs and opportunity he is creating for the rest of us.
Yeah, but it's just amazing that people can't seem to link up that thought. And indeed, wealthy people are treated like bogeymen. Now you've got, as you say, with Bloomberg's wealth, and he's going to be there perhaps on the dais for the next debate. It'll be interesting to see how much, I guess the thing about socialism, which is being spouted by quite a few people that are running for president, is that somehow if we even the playing field economically amongst people, this is going to bring some sort of happiness to the people. It brings misery.
Of course, it's the exact opposite. The left has this weird view that the economy is zero sum, but it is absolutely not zero sum. If you go to the core of market economies, are voluntary transactions and voluntary trading between people that makes both sides of the transaction better off. If you go down to the store, you buy a product, you benefit, the store benefits, and that's how market economies work, is a positive sum game. But the left seems to think it's a zero sum game. I don't understand why that is, but they're completely wrong. So I hope if Bloomberg's getting into the Democratic battle here, that he defends his wealth, that he defends his entrepreneurship, and he talks about how he has greatly benefited Americans by the increased competition and the jobs that he's created.
Do you think Donald Trump does defend his wealth, or do you know what I mean? Is he a person? He does seem to. He doesn't shy away from the fact that he tells everybody how rich he is. In his own way, I guess he does defend the fact that he made a lot of money, huh?
I guess that's right, but of course he seems to antagonize people.
Yes.
Whenever he opens his mouth on topics like that, especially about his own wealth.
Right.
I mean, I think Bloomberg is a much better sort of representative and model for the type of entrepreneur we want in America that had this great idea and drove invested his own money and really drove to build this great company. So. I wish more entrepreneurs like Bloomberg would defend themselves. And, you see these comments by Bill Gates, for example, often he seems to sort of apologize for his wealth. I think that's ridiculous. Yeah. And I think it's kind of appalling. Bill Gates' company has built enormous wealth for every American, really, and by his computer innovations, by the jobs that he's created, by building this excellent company. He should defend his wealth. And, unfortunately, I think too many top entrepreneurs are being cowed by the left into feeling embarrassed about the productive lives they've lived.
Absolutely. Chris, it's a real pleasure talking with you. And I thank you so much for coming on. This thing is, I can't wait to see Bloomberg get up there and point to Bernie Sanders, the guy that claims to be, wants the big redistributor. The guy's got, he's a multimillionaire that owns about three houses. I mean, this is so ridiculous. It's just hypocritical.
Absolutely right. Let's see. Bloomberg knows he's going to be attacked, so let's see how well he defends himself.
Looking forward to it. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Chris Edwards, Cato Institute. There we go. All right. Going to take our break. And when we come back, we got a lot of things to talk about. I think we're going to have the brother of the barber pole, Angelo, from up in New York, talk to us a little bit about what's going on with the impeachment inquiry and a bunch of other things. So you know, stay tuned for that.
When Chris was talking about, you know, you guys were talking about that Trump is, you know, not exploiting the amount of money that he's made. It's funny, back, 10, 20 years, all the people that took photos with him when he was getting rich, like Hillary and Bill Clinton and Oprah, and they all didn't have a problem with him making money then.
Oh, no.
Now, because he's president, you know.
I think Trump was at some wedding involving Hillary Clinton. I can't remember if it was for their daughter or not. Oh, yeah, big time. Yeah. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, Angelo will join us.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time, sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why don't you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars old and new, Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back 3 days before Thanksgiving. Wow. This year has just flown by, in my opinion. All right. Well, I got to talk before we bring Angelo on here. I found this little tidbit, and I don't know. I get a little perverse kick out of it. Last Thursday, Senator Elizabeth Warren told a school choice activist in Atlanta that she had sent both of her kids to public school. Well, the day after that, they told a different story on her campaign website in a video originally uploaded on social media. This woman, Sarah Carpenter, challenged Warren's opposition to charter schools. And at one point she said, "We're going to have the same choice that you had," meaning Warren, "that you had for your kids, because I read that your children went to private schools." So Warren says, "My children went to public schools." However, a yearbook shows that Warren's son Alex attended Kirby Hall School in the 86-87 school year. It's a private school. It charges nearly $15,000 a year for tuition. So much, you know, Elizabeth, why do they do that? You know, eventually they're going to get caught. Angelo, how are you, my friend? Angelo has fallen asleep.
I'm right here.
There you are. Hey, I don't know, Elizabeth Warren, and then we have Michael Bloomberg. Now, Michael is from up in your neck of the woods. You know a little bit about Michael Bloomberg. Do you think, Angelo Cerasi, do you think that Michael is going to make a dent in the Democratic presidential race?
I don't know. He wasn't too popular out this way here. He wanted to charge big bucks for, you know, if you drank a 16-ounce pop or something like that, and or a soda, you know. And
yeah. How far away are you from New York City, Angelo?
Well, we're probably about a four-hour drive, maybe.
Okay. So
We're up right up against Lake Ontario, up one of the Great Lakes.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It must be a beautiful area there.
Oh, it is real pretty.
Yeah. So you're kind of, you know, you're away from the aura of the New York City liberal politics, and Bloomberg, of course, is a big part of that. So now I wonder how he's going to do if he were to become it would be kind of interesting, would it not, if Bloomberg and Trump were running against each other? What do you think?
I think it'd be very interesting. You got two businessmen vying for the presidency.
Yeah.
They each have their own different views on how to run the country. I think President Trump kind of connects more to the people, you know, where Bloomberg is a little more eccentric, kind of, you know.
Yeah, Bloomberg comes off to me as he's not a people person necessarily.
No, he's more narcissistic, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, interesting. They're two different, completely different personalities. I get the impression Bloomberg's probably wealthier. What do you think?
Yeah, he could very well be.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's asking. Well, I'm sure they're going to be asking for his tax returns now, too. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
I wonder if he'd be willing.
Trump, let's see what happens.
Yeah,
with
maybe that'll be brought Bloomberg up. That's a good point. We're talking.
You know, and yeah. Let's see how Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders deal with a billionaire that they're so against people who have money and they want to redistribute. I wonder if Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren there and Kamala Harris, all of them want to distribute his money. See what he likes about that.
Yeah. We're talking with Angelo Cerasi up in Westchester, New York.
No, Rochester.
Oh, I said Westchester. What am I talking about?
Westchester is down by New York City. Westchester.
Well, then move back to Rochester. That's where you belong. So we've got Angelo from Rochester. He's the brother of Andrew from Dunedin down here. And but they both share a lot of things in common. So we've got with this impeachment, Angelo, we got the impeachment inquiry or whatever you want to call it over with. So now here's the Democrats. They're sitting with this thing. It's like sitting with a dog you've pulled off the street. You don't know what's going to go. You know, you're holding on to the thing, and you're afraid to let go of the leash because you don't know what's going to happen. I kind of think that this impeachment inquiry is like that dog, and they don't know now. I mean, now what do we do? Is kind of this attitude. So, what do you think? Do you think that the Democrats, at this point, under the guidance of Nancy Pelosi, are going to go ahead and vote to impeach Donald Trump?
Well, Nancy Pelosi, if she has the votes, I think she will go, because she will go for the impeachment process,
mm-hmm.
knowing full well that going into the Senate, it might not get through.
It won't get through.
It won't get through at all.
No.
But her goal is to make this president look really bad. I mean, she's called him an imposter. She has said many things, and Shifty Schiff has from day one been wanting to impeach the president.
Yeah, we just talked about Schiff saying even now, I mean, the guy that would lead the charge, kind of hedging his bet, although I think it's just political, but the polls are starting to turn. And
yes.
You go to all of those key states like Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and a bunch of other states, and it's turning in Trump's favor after all of this impeachment stuff. So I think Nancy Pelosi's not an idiot. She can understand. And then I bet she's got a lot of Democrats tugging at her saying, Nancy, wait a second. You know, I'm going to be in a close race here. I don't want to be going on record voting for an impeachment of this guy. It's going to be used against me when I run. That's all they're going to talk about in their ads.
Oh, absolutely. Then with the IG report coming out December the 9th,
yeah.
The Inspector General, the DOJ Inspector General, is going to talk before the Senate about the collusion that they supposedly were supposed to have.
It's going to be right in the middle of all of this.
It's going to be right in the middle of all this here, you know. And then you got your Democratic candidates who, you know, they cannot go campaigning if there's an impeachment process. They have to stay in Washington.
Right.
So, you know, they got a lot of things to think about. Yeah. But their goal, their main goal is to make this president look really, really bad. I could be wrong. But I think they will go for the impeachment. I think they will do it.
You still think they will? I think most people agree with you. I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure.
They've been calling for this 19 minutes after the guy was sworn in.
Absolutely right. I would think they'd be better off to go for censure.
Well, the president wants them to go. He's calling their bluff. He says, let's go for it.
Yeah, but I don't think he really wants to go through that. I mean, this would be a stain on his record. And, you know, he...
Well, if he was exonerated and you had these people called up as witnesses, as Schiff, the supposedly whistleblower, that Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, all these people, if they're called as witnesses and they're subjected to the same process that the Republicans were not... You know, I mean, mm-hmm. that they couldn't say anything to these people or anything like that. I think you would see people really taking an even bigger look at how corrupt the Democrats really have been.
You know, I know New York and California would vote whoever is the Democratic president.
Oh, look at that. Definitely. It's New York City that carries New York.
Absolutely right.
Let me put it to you this way. During the last presidential election, all of New York State voted for Trump, except for New York City. All your counties and districts.
Everyone?
Just about everyone.
Wow.
And the same thing with Cuomo over here. He only wins because of New York City.
Right.
He loses the entire districts up here in New York State.
Right.
Just New York City has always, always been Democrat, you know?
It has.
I don't understand why. But I guess, you know, New York City, the city that never sleeps, you know, all the liberals.
So
and the Californian people, you know.
Right.
The two coastal states.
The two biggest states on the coast, exactly right. Yeah. So after all is said and done, do you think that when the elections roll around, which is, not, by the way, now less than a year away, do you think that it's going to be close? I know you think Trump will win, but I mean, really, I mean, honestly, do you think it's going to be close? And we can't factor in things we don't know about, but knowing what we know today, what do you think?
I don't think it's going to be close. I think he's going to win big time.
Really?
Yep. I think he'll gain more states than he did the last time.
Do you think
he'll... Did he win by 304 electoral votes the last time?
He won, 320 to 270 or something like that? I can't, or 307.
270 is what he has to win in order...
He has to win 270, you're right. Anyway, and, he won by quite a few, yeah.
He won by quite a few. And I think the swing states that will always carry the election, you know, no Republican has ever won without Ohio,
right?
Michigan,
well, they
Wisconsin,
won with, they've won
Pennsylvania,
without Michigan,
you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ohio is the one that...
Carry those states.
So do you think that Trump would win the popular vote as well?
I think he's going to win the popular vote this time.
You do?
You know, you go and you hear a lot of people. You know, I go on Facebook and I see, you know, he tweets on Facebook all the time and he's always tweeting. And you see more people, and this is all across the country, more people stick by him than don't. It's the diehard Democrats that will... ridicule him and do this and do that. It's the same people that would do it. But I have seen people actually stick by this guy.
I have a quirky question for you, since Thanksgiving is Thursday. Pretend that Donald Trump was your uncle or something, or your, your brother-in-law, just for fun. And he wasn't president. I mean, forget about politics. Take politics completely out of this guy's personality. Would you want to spend about 2 or 3 hours sitting at the Thanksgiving table with him?
Yes, I would.
You would. Okay. Okay. That's a fair.
Actually, Thanksgiving is my birthday this year.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Happy birthday, my friend. I can't remember your brother and you. Which of you two is the older gentleman?
I am.
You are, huh? Wow. Well, happy birthday, Angelo.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving up there. Stay warm. And we're.
It's going to be 50 degrees tomorrow and 50 on Wednesday.
Oh, that's nice. That's good up there. That's great. Well, listen, have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll look to talk with you after Thanksgiving again.
Yeah, thank you. And you all have a happy Thanksgiving yourself.
Thank you, my friend. There he goes. All right, Angelo Ceresi, the brother of the barber pole proprietor. All right, we're going to take our final break, and among other things, the top 10 worst colleges in the U.S.
I gave a girl a ride in the wagon. She crawled in and took control. She was tired, cause her mind was dragging. I said, get some sleep and dream of rock and roll.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com.
My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Dum, 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 ooh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works for a Monday. Thank you so very much for joining us. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg is recuperating. She's 86 years old now. I think she's hanging on. Only because Trump is president, and she realizes if she were to step down, that he would appoint a conservative, which would guarantee a conservative vote. Guarantee it. Right now, Roberts, although considered conservative, is like the Anthony Kennedy of the court. Kennedy would swing back and forth. So she was just released yesterday. She's had bouts of cancer, I think three different bouts of cancer. She's the oldest justice currently on the court, and she's the second longest serving, with Clarence Thomas serving the longest. She was put on the bench by Bill Clinton in 1993. So we wish her the best. We wish her good health, as a matter of fact. So there you go. All right, before we get to our top 10, and we got a good one, Ed. I wonder if you and I went to one of these top 10 worst colleges in America. Anyway, we'll find out. But in the meantime, we have football, and I don't know how many more games everybody has left, but, you know, it's funny about the Buccaneers, our Tampa Bay, our beloved team here. You know, they go from looking really bad, and then they come back, and they go to Atlanta, and they win this game 35-22. Jameis Winston engineers a lot of good plays. What do you think? I mean, I know we're not going to make the playoffs. Are we improving?
Well, we have five games left. And give credit where credit is due, although it started out as usual. Jameis, second play of the game for the Bucs, Jameis threw a pick. So he had two picks before you got your popcorn ready.
Yes, before you sat down.
As usual.
Right.
But they did some things okay. But, you know, what I do is they won the game, but I'm looking towards next year, and I'm still seeing the same stuff and the excuses. Of course, the first one that was picked, the coach immediately in the press conference said, wasn't his fault. Was not his fault. You know, the receiver turned wrong.
Somebody ran the wrong route. Right. That's always the excuse. He ran the wrong route.
But, you know, the Falcons won the last two games, but they're really a bad team. Their defense is horrible. And it's a win, but, you know, at this point, we're looking at draft choices next year. And I'm not sure winning right now is the best thing.
Okay, so I know you've not been a fan of Jameis since the start, but do you think we should go with him again next year?
Here's the thing. He's going to need a contract. Okay. Now, my thought is, if you want to stick with this guy, you have to understand, and he has to understand, he is not a franchise quarterback. In other words, he's not worth $20, $25 million a year. This guy needs to be, remember Brad Johnson, who won the Super Bowl for us, Buccaneer quarterback at that time? Brad just managed the game. That's what he needs to learn to do. Just, you know, there was things that he did, once again, that, you know, he threw a 30, almost 40-yard pass, and it was complete, but it was well underthrown. The receiver had to twist his body, come back to want to make a great catch. And then people say, oh, wow, look at that pass. Well, you know, there's another thing. It was underthrown again. So I think when it comes contract time, if his camp is going to say, hey, his agent says, oh, my guy's a franchise quarterback, he wants $20, $22, $23 million a year. I don't know if he justifies paying that, right? unless it's some backloaded contract with a lot of incentives and a lot of problems. If he gets into any problems off the field, that it's vulnerable.
Well, good point.
Yeah.
So right now, Ed, are the New England Patriots the best team in football?
It sure would look like that. I haven't seen the Ravens play, who have been doing pretty well, but I'd have to say right now, until somebody knocks them off, they have to be.
They're 10-1, I believe.
Yeah, they are.
Are they not?
Yeah.
And just when you think that their quarterback is over the hill,
Tom
he's
Brady.
Not. Yes. Tom Brady.
He's 42 years old. I watched the pregame and they got with Tom and, you know, they said, you know, how is he? You know, how is your health and how is it with these new guys coming in? And he chuckled. He said he's got to get them to quit calling him sir. You know, these young guys, they go, yes, you know, Brady will go over to him and say, do this, just yes, sir, yes, sir. Don't call me sir. And they say, it's hard because we've watched you on years, for 20 years on TV. It's hard not to call you sir.
It is. Plus, he deserves that kind of respect,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, he does.
Played. Do you think the New England Patriots coach is the best coach ever in the NFL?
I think so.
Bill Belichick?
Without a doubt, that quarterback and head coach combo is the best ever.
Yeah.
And, you know, always watch out for the guy that doesn't say much, and that's Bill Belichick.
Right.
Watch out for that guy because he's not the know-it-all. You know, he's not the hothead. He's the guy who just has the same thing, you know. We're on to the Jets next week.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that stuff, so.
He's one of the million.
Think he goes down to, they can't rename the Lombardi Trophy, but they got to rename something to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, something with
How
Belichick.
How many has he won?
God, I lost count.
They've won five or six at least.
I don't think he's surpassed like Shula, like 300. I have to check.
I'm talking
on
about
that.
Super Bowls.
Oh, Super Bowls was six.
I think he's won five or six.
Six, I believe.
Well, he's number one, is he not,
six
for Super Bowls? I'm quite sure. Well, he would be number one then.
Yeah. Oh, okay. He is. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Good. All right, my friend, you got to get over on the drums now. This is, I think, very interesting. It comes from educationalot.com. The top 10 worst colleges in America. We're always talking about the great ones. Well, let's find out which are really the lousy ones where you really waste your money. So here we go. Without further ado, top 10 worst colleges. Number 10, the New Hampshire New England College. says here, whatever you do, don't go to New England College. It has a 36% graduation rate, with students coming out with a debt of about $35,000. Not very good. Stay away from that one. Number nine. The University of Maine at Augusta may be close for some, but not the best choice. Graduation rate, 28%. You walk out of there owing $24,000 with a 17% default rate. Congratulations. All right, number eight. Montana State University in Billings. What? It should be avoided, if possible, even if it's a fair price. Only 28% graduate. And when they do, they have about $22,000 plus in debt. Number seven, back to the East Coast. Rhode Island College. Rhode Island College has a lot going for it. Oh, no, the state does, it says, namely good colleges. But Rhode Island College is not among them. This college has a 43% graduation rate, an average debt of about $25,200 per student. Number six, Delaware's Wesley College. It's, students generally leave with about $31,000 in debt. However, the good news is they do earn about $43,000 median salary. So that'll leave them with a few thousand left over, I guess. All right. Number five. Black Hills State University. Well, that name alone would intrigue me, but it's in South Dakota. Black Hills State University, their in-state price is about $19,000. Their graduation rate is only about 33%, and the average student loan sits around $27,000. Not so hot. All right. Number four. North Dakota, right above them, Mayville State University, probably the best of the worst. It has a graduation rate of about 41%. That's not bad. And the price ain't too bad either, but their debt is about $27,000 per student. Number three, University of Alaska Anchorage. The University of Alaska Anchorage, its price is over market-based. On other universities, only around 31% graduate. Default rate is about 12.2%. All right. Number two, Johnson State College in Vermont. It's priced at about $19,000 per student. Loan amounts are about $32,000. Graduation rate about 37%. And finally, the number one worst college in America. Ed, I wasn't even going to ask you, because neither one of us...
Billy Bob Votek University.
Actually, that was 11th. How did you know that? That almost made the top 10. But number one is the Laramie County Community College in Wyoming.
Mm.
Okay? Their major is bull roping.
That's about right.
Wyoming doesn't have a lot of options. No. It says here, the honor goes to Laramie County as the worst... Community College has a 25.9% graduation rate. It also has a default rate of 16%. So there you go.
By the way, doing the top 10 guest will be on Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, will be Wilbur the Duck's distant cousin, Giblet.
Good old Giblet.
Giblet will be here.
He's only got 3 days left. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, thank you so very much for joining us. We will be back on Wednesday. In the meantime, remember, freedom works.
Right in the wagon, she crawled in.